Everybody shout amen when you get there. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Still here, a few pages turning. 2 Samuel chapter 6, starting at verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Again, David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. You can go ahead and be seated this evening. You know, now as we get ready, or we're actually in the middle of our holiday season, having just recently celebrated Thanksgiving, as we make preparations to get ready for Christmas, it's a very important time in the lives of a lot of people. Because the holidays towards the end of the year, for many, become a time of reflection, where we start to reflect on the events that have transpired throughout our lives during the past year. But we also look with anticipation towards what is coming in the new year. We start to think about some of the things that have happened in our lives. Many of us have lost people that were very dear to our heart. There are others of us that have had children and grandchildren that have been added to our families. There are some of us that have been married in the last few years, and there are in the last year, and then there are others that have gotten new jobs or have been transferred, and a lot of things have taken place in our lives over the past year. And we reflect sometimes on where we were at last year. We heard our pastor's testimony this Sunday, where he was reflecting on how Thanksgiving is a very important day in his life, because that was the day that he gave his life to Jesus and his life was changed forevermore. So as we go through our holiday seasons, we start to reflect on the things that are important in our lives. And the portion of scripture that we read here this evening, it's about King David. And King David is one of my favorite characters in the Bible because, like the pastor mentioned recently, we know a lot about David because of what he wrote about his life in the Psalms. And it's almost like we know a lot about what happened in the life of a lot of biblical characters because of how or what's written about them in the Bible. But David is unique in that he gives us a glimpse into his emotions. He gives us a glimpse into how he thinks, and he gives us a glimpse into what is important in his life. And as we start to read the book of Psalms, we start to find out who David is as a man. What makes him the man of God that he is? And there is one thing that stands out over and over in the life of David, and that is his pursuit of the presence of God. There is one thing that stands out in his life, is that he was always pursuing a relationship. He was always pursuing the presence of God in his life. We look at David at the lowest point in his life when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had sent her husband, Uriah, to the front lines to be killed. And his sin had been exposed and God had started to deal with him. And in his prayer of repentance, as recorded in Psalms 51, we hear him cry out for God not to cast him away from his presence. He said, "Don't take your Holy Spirit from me." And it gives us a glimpse, like we can almost look over his shoulder to find out at that hard time in his life what the most important thing for him was, and that was the presence of God. He wanted God more than anything else. And in the portion of scripture that we read, once again, we see David's pursuit of the presence of God. For 7 years, David has been the king of Judah, the southern tribes. But after 7 years, some events transpired where the leaders of the northern tribes of Israel came to David and they told him, "It's time that we come united. It's time that we announce you to be the king of a united kingdom where we're no longer separate, but we all come together as one." And David starts to see that all the promises that were made to him by God and all the prophecies that were made concerning his life were starting to come true. And God was about to bless him. God was about to endow with him everything that he had promised him. And David said, "You know what? This is a huge undertaking. I can't do this by myself. I need supernatural help. I need the presence of God. I have been positioned to be the king over the United Kingdom. But more than a position, I need the presence of God in my life. Let's go bring the ark." You see, his predecessor Saul had the position, but he didn't have the presence. He was anointed king. He stood ahead above every other man. He was selected. The people followed him. The people cried out that they wanted a king. And he had the position, but he didn't have the presence. And David, learning from the person that had gone before him, he said, "I can't just have the position. I need to have the presence. I need God in my life. I need his presence because that's the only way that I'm going to be successful." You see, that's not to say that Saul never experienced the presence. He just didn't value the presence like David did. He didn't think that it was important like David did. There is an example that's recorded in the Word of God where Saul wants to kill David and he launches a spear at him. And David flees and he goes to Samuel, his leader. And there's a bunch of prophets there, and they're all prophesying. And Saul sends an army of men to go and kill David. But the Bible says that when that army of men got to where David was, the presence of God was so thick in that place that even the men that were going to kill David started to prophesy. So they send word back to Saul and they said, "Hey, the guys that you sent, they've been converted. They got turned around. They're prophesying in the name of the Lord." So Saul said, "We'll send some more soldiers." He did that 3 times. And all 3 times the soldiers that went out, when they got into the presence of God where Samuel and David and the prophets were, they all did the same thing. They started to prophesy. So Saul said, "Well, I'm going to go myself." And the Bible says that Saul went over there, and when he got into the place where the presence of God was, he started prophesying too. He ripped off his clothes. He fell on the floor because the presence of God was so thick in that place. He might have gone there with murderous thoughts. He might have gone there with bad intentions. But as soon as he came into the presence of God, he couldn't compete. God transformed him for that second. But he didn't keep it. You see, we come to our church and to our ministry, and the thing that attracts us here is the presence of God. I remember back in 19, none of your business, when I first came into the home. It wasn't a luxurious place. But it was there in the presence of God that dope fiends were being transformed by the power of God. It was there where gang members were being transformed by the power of God. It was there that people's lives were being changed. It wasn't because it was a magnificent facility. It wasn't because we had the most eloquent speakers. It wasn't because we had the latest training methods. The reason why people's lives were being changed is because the presence of God was in that place. You see, what happens nowadays is we have a lot of people that want the position, but they don't want the presence. You see, the Bible says here that David, when he thought of the idea to go and bring back the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, his intentions were great. He wanted the presence. It was vital in his success. But he wanted to expedite the process by building an ark, tying some oxen to it, so that we can hurry up and get the presence back to Jerusalem. You see, we want to expedite the process of pursuing the presence. I don't care how many websites you visit, how many times you Google the presence of God, how fast you want to get the presence of God. There are no shortcuts to getting the presence of God. There are only two ways to get the presence of God. That's spending time with Jesus. There is no shortcut. You can read all the books you want. You can do all the research you want. You can do all those things, but nothing compares with spending time in the presence of God, because it is the anointing of God that changes people's lives. It is the presence of God that transforms a drug addict. It is the presence of God that opens up the prison doors to those that are bound. It is the presence of God, not your eloquent speech, not all the research you did on the internet, not your title, not your position, not your shine shoes or your tailored suit. It is the presence of God that changes people's lives. I remember when we were first starting out, and God started to use us to preach in our church. There was no commentaries. There were no concordances. There was no internet. There was no research material available. You got your Bible. You got a notebook. You got a pen. You locked yourself in a room and you cried out for the presence of God, for God to come and speak to your life so that you could deliver the message that God has placed in your heart. There are no shortcuts to the presence of God. You got to spend time with Jesus to get the presence. You see, in our ministry, we have a rich culture and a rich history of men and women that have gone before us. We have the pioneer generations and the Joshua generations. They were more concerned with having the presence and having the position. The mentality back then was, as long as God is with us, we can take the city. As long as we're praying, as long as the presence of God is with us, you can send me halfway around the world. I don't care, because God is with me and He's going to give us the city. Nowadays, people are depending on their position instead of the presence. You want to do a demographic survey of the area, and you want to find this out and that out, and you want to get all this research, just go! Get the presence of God and go and do the work that God has called us to do. Last Thursday night, me and Pastor Joe were at Central New Mexico Prison in Los Lunas. And when we got there, there was about 45 guys that showed up to the chapel. And when we're there, it's a little uneasy, because anything can jump off in a prison. So you want to believe God for the best, but you're prepared for the worst. So we're there, and the guys are coming in, and we get through the first part of the service, and Pastor Joe calls me up, and I start preaching. And I'll tell you what, by the time that we were done, all the men that had come to the chapel service had come to the front to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But after I left that prison, I'm driving in my car, and my heart is beating. I'm shaking, and I'm saying, God, there is nothing like being in your presence. There is no dope that makes me feel this way. There is nothing that can compare to being in God's presence, seeing God move in people's lives. Jesus said, What you've done to the least of my little ones, you've done it as unto me. The two ways that we get the presence is by spending time with Jesus. The second one is being where Jesus is. Jesus just isn't in church. Jesus is on the streets. Jesus is out there when we do the twilight treasures, because it is there that you see the demonstration of the power of God. When you go up to a prostitute or a gang member or a drug addict and you start to tell them about the love of God, and tears start coming down their face, and you can feel that God is there because God is ministering to that hurting person. God, the presence of God is in the homes. Oh, that was your cue, guys. You blew it. The presence of God is in the homes. When you can go and you can see men and women's lives who were tore up, men and women who were lost without hope or direction in their lives, and all of a sudden you see them come in one day, lost, hurting, not knowing what's going to become of their lives, but months down the road, you see them walking with their head held up because God has got a hold of their heart. God is changing them. God is transforming them because they've been in the presence of God. David had great intentions. Let's bring the presence back. I need this. But he went about it the wrong way. He tried to expedite it. He tried to improve it. He tried to make it more sleek. Got him a nice little cart. Nice wheels on the cart. A couple of nice looking oxen on the cart. He goes, this is the ticket. We're going to bring it back in style. We're going to have musicians. We're going to have people singing. We're going to have people dancing. We're going to make a big old spectacle because we're bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem where it belongs. And they were all excited until God said, pump the brakes, homeboy. Don't go down like that. The Bible says that Uzzah reached out to hold the Ark because the oxen stumbled. So homeboy thought he could give God a helping hand. Uzzah didn't remember that it was God that created the oxen. Oh, you didn't hear me. Uzzah didn't remember that it was God that created the oxen. Uzzah didn't remember that God knew that there was a bump in the road. Uzzah didn't remember that it was God's presence that was in the ark. God don't need any help from us. God can be God all by himself. He doesn't need our intervention. He doesn't need for us to lend him a helping hand. You do the things the way God wants them to do, and you can see him move in your life. It's when we try to help him that we get into problems. The Bible says the oxen stumbled, and Uzziah said, let me help you out, God. And God said, no, you don't. Boom, crisp. Like bacon. He was done. Because he tried to help out God. And the Bible says that God's anger was aroused towards Uzzah. So David got mad. So we got God that's mad. And now David's mad. And David said, I'm going to abandon my plan because I'm mad at God. Now, I don't know if that happens in Victory Outreach Albuquerque. It might happen in other Victory Outreaches. I doubt that it happens here. But there are some people that have the audacity to be mad at God and say, because I'm mad at God, I'm not going to pursue his presence. I will show God. I'm going to stop what I'm doing in the ministry. I'm not going to show up anymore so that they can know that they're losing a good thing with me, because I'm mad at God that he didn't do things the way I wanted him to do it. You see, David's intentions were good. He went about it the wrong way. I believe that in this time, in this season, in this holiday season, God has positioned us. All the events that have taken place in our personal lives have brought us to a position where God wants to pour out. It's no coincidence that our theme all year has been rise up. Another interpretation of rise up means to position yourself. Get to that place where God wants you to be. Position yourself where God called you to be. Get to that place. Rise up. Position yourself. But in order for us to be successful and reap the 7-time blessing that our pastor has continually talked about all year, we need the presence of God. It's not just being in the position. It's not just being in that place. It's about getting into the presence of God and doing things the way that God intended them to be done. You see, the Ark of the Covenant had been moved the same way for hundreds of years. Since the time of Moses in the wilderness with the children of Israel, the ark had been moved a certain way. There was only one way to do it. And it was a slow process, but it got moved. You see, God wants to position us in a place where we experience the presence of God, not momentarily, but daily in our lives. But it is a process that has been done the same way for generation after generation. There is no way to speed it up. God is going to do what He's going to do in our lives in His time. God has it already mapped out. The length of time has already been determined. We just have to keep doing what we're doing. Stay in position, because the day is coming when God is going to pour out that blessing. God is going to pour out the anointing, and we'll be able to walk under the presence of God into our destiny. For hundreds of years, it had been moved the same way, and David had a great idea that he could do it better, faster, different. And a lot of times we fall into that same trap where we want it done faster. Look at the life of Moses. It took him 40 years on the backside of the desert to catch a glimpse of God's glory. It took him 40 years on the backside of the desert to get an invitation to climb up the mountain and speak to God and allow God to give him direction. Look at Jacob. He had to work, like 20 years for Laban, separated from his family. And finally God said, I need to position you to go back to where you're supposed to be. But before you can do that, I need to strip you of everything. You need to be alone and wrestle with the angel of the Lord. You need to be alone to wrestle, to be in the presence of God. It didn't happen overnight for anybody. It's not going to happen overnight for us. There is no speedy way to accomplish that. It's been done the same time and time again. It takes an investment of our lives and of our time in the presence of God to reap the benefits of His presence. You see, I think that sometimes we do our disservice to ourselves because we depend more on our position than we do in the presence of God. I look at our church as we get ready to go into 2018. We're in position. We're in position. We have what it takes. We have our own building. We have a good kids gang. We have a youth ministry. We have a Twilight Treasures ministry. We have a jail and prison ministry. We have a nursery. We have all the things that we need to be positioned to break through in 2018. But what we need to do is get into the presence of God. We need to spend time with the Lord. We need to go back to the old fashioned. Let's pray before church. Let's get into the presence of God. Let's fill this place so that when people walk in, they feel the presence of God in our church. The music and the talent is great and beautiful, but it's the presence of God that changes people's lives. When I was in the home back in the day, we would pray an hour before church with on our knees with our faces to the back of the chair, and don't you dare look up. Don't you dare look up, because you would be placed on a discipline that would make grown men cry. But what was the lesson in that? You need to get a hold of the present. Don't be distracted. Don't look to the right or to the left. God is right here. He wants to meet your need. He wants to do that work in your life. But you got to spend time with Him alone. Now we come to prayer and people are here like, oh, hallelujah, brother, what are we doing after church? Oh, Lord, I love you, Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, did you watch the game last week, man? I couldn't believe that my team lost again. Or we'll be in church. God is moving. People's lives are being touched at the altar call. And we got leaders that are standing around talking to each other about nothing to do with the lives of the people that are being touched. We need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to passionately pursuing the presence of God and inviting it into our lives so that God can move and break us free, break us through in 2018. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads all over this place as the keyboard player comes up. You know, as your head is bowed and your eyes closed, one thing that stands out to me in the story of David's pursuit of God's presence is the fact that Saul had the same opportunity, but he didn't take advantage of it. There was actually a prophetic word that was spoken about Saul. And that prophetic word said that the Spirit of God would come upon him and he would be changed into another man. That was a prophecy. And it did happen. He did prophesy. The Spirit of God fell upon him. He was transformed into another man. But he got up and he went right back to being the person that he used to be. David had the same opportunity. He saw the urgency in the transition that God was trying to take him to bring the presence of the Lord to Jerusalem. He knew it was vital that he couldn't do it without it. After he got over his little temper tantrum, being mad at God, he did his research, he did his homework, and he devised the right plan to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. But you know what provoked David to do that? Is that all the time that he was there in Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant for 3 months was at the house of Obed-Edom. And while the Ark was there, Obed-Edom was blessed more than anybody else. So David's in Jerusalem, and he's hearing the praise reports of everything that's happening to Obed-Edom. His daughters are getting married and having children. His crops are coming in twice the harvest. David starts thinking about the presence of God. And he's provoked to action because he sees God's blessing other people instead of him. We look at other people's lives and we see how God is moving in their lives. And it's very easy for us to criticize them. It's very easy for us to say things about them. Because God is moving in their lives is because they're in the presence of the Lord. They're in the presence of God. While we sulk and while we criticize and while we judge, other people are being blessed. While we hold back on God, while we're crying and complaining about why things aren't going right for us, there's other people that are getting blessed because they're choosing to be in His presence rather than to be sulking in what's not happening in their lives. This evening, I believe that God wants to minister to our hearts and to our lives, and He wants to challenge us. He wants to afford us the same opportunity that He gave Saul and that He gave David. Our success in this new year hinges in our pursuit of the presence of God. If you're tired of business as usual, if you're tired of the same thing month after month, week after week, day after day, seeing other people get ahead and seeing other people blessed, then I'm going to challenge you tonight and say to yourself, you know what? I need to pursue the presence. It's the presence of God that's going to make the difference in my life. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here in this place tonight, and God has challenged you, God has moved in your heart, and you say, you know what? I haven't been pursuing the presence. I've been slacking off in my relationship with God, and my life isn't where it needs to be. I'm tired of complaining, making excuses. I'm making a decision tonight to persistently pursue God's presence. I'm going to ask the worship team to play. And as they do, I'm going to invite every person that is in this place to come. Find your place at this altar. And let's pursue God's presence. Let's position ourselves to receive everything that God has for us. Come on, all over this place. Don't let nothing hold you back. If you can do an honest assessment of your life and say, Lord, I need more of you in my life. I want you to come to this altar and lift your heart, lift your voice, lift your hands to the Lord and say, Jesus, move in my life.